shorter and to the point, because that's what I get out of this when I look at Ephesians chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And thinking of just coming up to Thanksgiving this week, the title here is How to Have a Greater Appreciation for Your Salvation. So Ephesians chapter 2, and we look at, as you turn there, we're looking at Ephesians, and obviously Paul wrote to the Ephesians, to the church at Ephesus, so that is the letter here, and Paul became a Christian approximately 30 years prior to this. So when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, you know, he had three of his ministry trips, missionary trips, were accomplished. He was, they believe he was in house arrest at Rome. He was under house arrest when he wrote to the Ephesians as well. So this is Paul, you know, having quite a bit of experience being a Christian, approximately 30 years. And so when he starts writing to the Ephesians, this is writing to the Ephesians church in chapter 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the will of God. This is who he's writing it to. It says, to the saints who are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I look at that, I'm like, what a great reputation, really. You know, he's writing to the saints that are there, the Christians that are there, and to those that are faithful. That's this letter that he's writing to. And I think it's commendable for Paul and even the church at Ephesus to have this kind of reputation that Paul starts out his letter that way and, you know, recognizes this is who he's writing to. So he's writing to Christians. He's writing to those that are faithful. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to jump in chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. We'll come back and talk about it and see what we can learn from this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, to the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all were once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in his mercy because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even while we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace ye have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, when I look at this and think of what Paul is writing to the Ephesians here, I think what Paul is saying here, you don't quite have a proper understanding of how fallen you were when you look at verses 1 through 3, or how great your rescuer really was, okay? Or how amazing the gift of salvation really is. Do you understand that? I think that's what Paul is writing to the Ephesians here in the verses 1 through 3. Do you understand how great of a rescuer you really have? And I want to ask you that question this morning as well. Do you recognize how great of a rescuer you have and how much you were rescued from? Are you aware of how great that gift of salvation is? Verse 8 made it very clear, it's a gift from God. Does that, like, what do you think in your mind when you think of a gift of salvation? Sometimes you think, you know, the bigger the gift, the better, right? Well, how much do you value the gift of salvation in your life? Brian Biederbach says this: when you were rescued from danger, the greater the danger you were rescued from, the more grateful you will be for the rescuer. I'll read that again. I want you to get that. When you were rescued from danger, the greater the danger you were rescued from, the more grateful you will be for the rescuer. And I believe that's what this passage is talking about. We're going to go through this a little bit. When you look at verses 1 through 3, and then the rest of the chapter, is just recognizing how great of a rescuer we really have. Two parts here we're going to look at. How bad we were, and how great God is. Okay, I'm going to give you two stories. All right, story number one. Imagine you were in a building, you were up on the 8th floor, and the building starts burning, like fully engulfed, and you have no way to escape. You can't get out. You're stuck in this burning building. Your only way to escape is through fire. There's a firefighter recognizes, and they learn that you're up there. So he's brave enough to climb up the steps, to walk through the fire, to come and rescue you. So he knows you're in there. He comes and walks through that, and he brings a fire retardant blanket. He finds you, he wraps you in that, and he takes you down to the first floor. He rescues you and walks you down through the smoke, through the flames. He gets down to the first floor, and he's so wore out, he gets down there, and he passes you off to another firefighter because he just brought you down 7 flights of steps, carried you down through smoke, through heat, through not knowing what is underneath him. As he hands you to another firefighter at the entrance, that firefighter takes you out. At that moment, the building collapses, and your rescuer dies. He didn't make it out, but you made it out. That's story number one. Story number two. Imagine you're in your backyard. It's a bright, sunny day. You want to take a break, and you want to get a suntan. So you simply just lay out in your backyard, and you're getting a suntan. And your neighbor comes over and starts chatting with you and says, "Hey, do you realize your back is getting really red? You're about to get sunburned." So your neighbor just saved you from getting a sunburn. Which of those two rescuers do you think you will honor more? The firefighter who gave his life for you, or the neighbor who saved you from a sunburn? Which one? I think the answer is very clear. Which person you would be the most grateful for? See, this passage, when you look at this passage, it's not just talking about, you look at verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." This isn't just talking about someone who is weak, someone who is struggling, someone who is not feeling good, someone who is barely alive. What he's saying here, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Being dead, something that is dead, is not very pretty. Normally, it's just an ugly corpse. It's a dead body. Being dead isn't very pretty. But that's what he says you were. This is prior to salvation. You were completely dead. That was the state that you and I were in before coming to Christ. Dead in trespasses and sins. But when he starts out and he says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Verse 2, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of obedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of God, just as others." What a tragic place to be. And so that's what Paul is saying here. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Verse 2, "You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the sons of disobedience." That's what you were. Verse 3, it says, you were giving in to the lust of your flesh. You were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and you were by nature the children of wrath. This is not a pretty picture of where we were prior to salvation. Verse 4. The first two words in verse 4, I believe, are some of the most amazing words in Scripture. It's two words. You know what it says? But God. The verse 1 through 3, he explains the situation that you were in. Then he comes in verse 4, and he says, but God. This is a whole transition. Those two words bring about a whole transition. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even while you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace are you saved by faith. And so I just love the way that Paul writes this here, but it is so accurate. Taking the former nature of sin that you were in, but God, he comes and he brings a complete new transition when we ask for repentance and we accept Jesus into our heart. So now it goes to completely to the other side, and he explains the good news, and he transitions into the good news. And, you know, good news is only good news if there's bad news, right? If there's no bad news, there's no good news. So Paul started with the bad news, and now he's coming with the good news. So now we're going to read verses 4 through 10. This is the good news. But God, who is rich in his mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. Or by grace are you saved. It says here in verse 5. And verse 6, and raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What does that do to you? Knowing that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God, through his grace, completely rescues you and is your rescuer from that. What should be our proper response to a rescuer like that? See, we're not talking about you just being saved from a sunburn. We're talking about you being saved from eternal fire. There's a big difference. And that's what Jesus did. He was the ultimate rescuer for your life. See, the story of redemption, it's really the same for all of us. Whether you were brought up in a good home, your parents loved each other, you were taught the word of God, you went to church, or if you're a convicted murderer, the story of redemption is the same for you as it is for the convicted murderer. Because the reality is, we were all born in sin. And so we have the same story. Verse 3 says, among whom all of us, we all once conducted ourselves. That's not letting anybody out. We were all in that situation. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. And so, in a sense, your testimony is the same as my testimony. And same as some of them that are in lockup. When it comes to the story of redemption, we were all sin. We were all born in sin. And through Jesus Christ, we can have redemption. Verse 4, but God, and he can bring the whole other part of it. And see, some people have a low view of, I'm going to say some people have a low view of God. And they don't recognize how great God is. And here's the reason why I believe that. Because they think prior to receiving the gospel, they weren't that bad. So they didn't need that much rescuing. You get what I'm saying? The greater the danger you were rescued from, the more grateful you will be for the rescuer. The bottom line is all of us have sinned, and we fall short of the glory of God. But God, by his grace, brings complete redemption. And so coming into this week of being thankful, Thanksgiving, this is something I want us all to be thankful for, is be thankful for your salvation and be thankful for your great rescuer. I believe that's exactly what he's saying here in this passage. Is recognizing, he starts out and says how bad you were, but God in verse 4, and then he says what you've been saved from and your salvation. Verse 5 says, even when you were dead in trespasses and sins, here's what he did. He made us alive together with Christ. Verse 6, and raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. And then verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourself, it's a gift of God. So again, coming into this week of Thanksgiving, celebrating Thanksgiving on Thursday, I want us to recognize that your salvation is a gift. And it is a great gift because you have a great rescuer, because you have been rescued from an awful lot, from a really ugly, difficult place is where you were rescued from. That's something to be thankful for. And I believe that was this passage. And so looking at this passage again, the two parts, the verses 1-3 is how bad we were, and then the rest is how great he is. And so now I'm going to read these 10 verses again in closing. I know I read them before when we started, but now I'm going to read it in closing. But just get it now from the context of what you've been saved from and how great your rescuer is and how great God is. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1-10. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. And he raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Father in heaven, thank you so much for being our great rescuer. Father, thank you that you didn't just save us from a sunburn, you saved us from eternal fire. Father, I want to thank you for this morning, for each person that's here Lord, I'm asking that each one of us would get a new sense of your grace. And it would be reality that we would recognize how great our rescuer really is. And so, Father, coming up the week of Thanksgiving, and on Thursday, obviously, the day of celebrating Thanksgiving, we have so many things to be thankful for. But, Father, specifically, we want to say thank you for being our rescuer. And thank you for the gift of salvation. It's not anything we did. It's not anything we deserve. It's a gift of you. So, Lord, thank you for salvation this morning. We bless you. We honor you. Lord, I pray a blessing on each person that's here as we go through this week. May we live it for your honor and for your glory. And Father, I pray specifically for Jason and his family this week, and just going through the viewing and the funeral of a loved one. Lord, I pray just for peace, for grace, for courage, and strength. And Lord, I'm asking specifically for Jason here this morning that he could sense your presence like never before. Father, it's going to be a different Thanksgiving for him, as it will be for all of us, Father, that know Jason and know the family. But Lord, we do want to be thankful. We are thankful. We are grateful for what you're doing. And Lord, I just want to thank you for the moments that Jason and his family had with their mom. Was it 65 years? 65 years that they had. Lord, you gave her 65 years of life. And so, Lord, we want to say thank you for those years. And Lord, I just pray a blessing on their family as they go from here. Lord, that you could be their strength and their comfort and their peace in ways they never experienced before. Because we know that you're good. We know that you're sovereign. And Father, times like this can be difficult for us as people to walk through. But we know that a situation like this doesn't change your sovereignty. It doesn't change your goodness. It doesn't change your love for us. Because you're still good. You are still sovereign. And you still love us unconditionally. Lord, again, I want to thank you for salvation. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Lord, I pray a blessing on each person that's here. As we go from here this week, we want to honor you. God, you're good. In Jesus' name, amen.